Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this time together, and we pray that you would bless us by the study of your word, that we may increase in our faith and devotion toward you, that we may increase in our knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I guess we'll start off with, oh shoot, I'm missing a sheet. I'll be right back.
We're going to do that.
But I want to talk about
devotions.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. I forgot one sheet here. You can have
fun.
I just wrote next time growing devotions.
Places to look for them. I like the LWML one that I got on my phone.
Yeah, I like that one. Sort of. That's a nice one.
Sorry about that. Okay. Here we go. So last week, by way of review, we looked at Luther's morning and evening and mealtime prayers from the catechism, and we were talking about the elements of daily prayer that were implicitly included in that, and some things that we can include in our daily prayers. Just to make this list here, we have the invocation, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, hymns, psalms, ex corde prayer we talked about. Remember, prayer from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Which along with written prayers, which like the Lord's Prayer and the Psalms are written prayers, right? And Bible readings. And I would also include devotionals. We talked about devotionals. I would also include here, to kind of correspond to the invocation, also a blessing at the end of a devotion, or some kind of benediction, which is just another word for blessing. And I would also include here, we didn't talk about this last week, but memory work, I think, is something that maybe we don't talk about as much as we should. It's interesting when I read the people from the early church and the theologians from even the Reformation, like Luther, they don't really talk per se about like trying to memorize scripture or trying to memorize psalms or hymns or things like that. But you can tell when you read them that they did, right? Like when you read, especially if you pick up like an early church father and read any of their sermons, it's just chalked full of scripture, like constantly. And I don't know if that's because memorization was just so much a part of the culture that it went without saying that you would memorize things. If you lived there in those times and you were a Christian, you would memorize scriptures and you'd memorize things. Or if it's because before the time of being able to look things up on our phones and computers and even in books.
Well, Bibles were probably scarce.
Yeah, and when Bibles were more scarce, it was part of the culture that people just memorize things. Anyway, all of that is to say that in our culture, it's not part of our culture that you memorize things anymore, right?
When I was growing up, back.
Yeah.
Little kids, starting all the way up, you had Bible verses and that. We used to play games.
Yeah.
And we'd have.
I grew up with that to some degree too, probably to a lesser degree, but. It's interesting. I don't see that happening at all anymore.
No.
Well, it's more Sunday school. That was part of your Sunday school stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. But I think we should encourage this, and I think we should continue to do it. And, like, maybe I'm too weak on this. I never Whenever I do adult catechesis, especially, I don't make them memorize. Like when I do adult confirmation, I don't make them memorize the catechism. And I do think that adults learn differently than children do. But, I mean, there's a long history in the Lutheran Church of people are supposed to have the catechism memorized. And, I mean, we don't, right? Like,
you mean the small or the large?
The small catechism.
Well, it's easier to learn it while you're a child.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I do think it's harder to I don't know if it's actually harder. I wonder if it's just more of a time thing, right? Like, that, so there's been some interesting studies. This is totally far afield, but this interests me, so I'm going to talk about it. On how language is learned. And it is true that adults and children learn language differently, mm-hmm. right? So if you try and learn a new language, right, a language you don't know. So that could be a child like John or Andrew, right? John and Andrew don't really know English right now, right? But they're learning English.
Right.
Or it could be like if I wanted to go learn French, right? I don't know French. In either case, we don't know the language, right? And we want to learn it. Generally, how adults learn language is by studying, memorizing vocabulary, and learning the rules of grammar, right? And then practicing putting those things together, right? Because basically, in language, you have vocabulary and you have grammar, right? You have the alphabet, whatever the alphabet is. But you got, which is really part of the grammar. So you have the words and then the way that they're supposed to fit together. Adults tend to learn better by learning the vocabulary and learning the grammar separately and then practicing putting them together. Children tend to learn by immersion. Mm-hmm. That is by just being totally immersed, like jumping into the deep end, just hearing it constantly. And
repetition.
And then, yeah, partly repetition, but also just listening and figuring it out. Now, what's interesting that they've done some studies, and I don't exactly know how they were set up or anything, but that have shown that the adults are actually better at learning languages than children are, because we learn them really with less time, right? Like you can spend an hour a day and learn a language over the course of a semester or two semesters in a, you know, university setting while you're doing a lot of other things in your life, right? While you're working and taking other classes and whatever, just with the, you know, an hour or two a day of study in that language, you can learn that language by studying the grammar and studying the vocabulary. People think that children learn the language easier because it just comes naturally to them. And it seems to us like they're not putting in work, right? If you watch, like, to me it seems like Andrew's not studying at all, like, right, as he's learning English. But he's starting to speak English. Like, he's in the place in life where he's starting to speak English. And he's learning the language. Well, what these studies have shown is that children are actually putting in way, 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 way more work to learn the language than adults would, because that's basically one of the only things that they're doing, right? Like, it's, I mean, yes, they're, you know, they spend energy and brain power playing and goofing off and doing it, whatever it is that they do, you know, eating and stuff like that. But as far as like some focused on like learning something, aside from like physical abilities, really, one of the only things that's taking up a ton of brain power and time in their brain is learning the language, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that children are able to spend hours and hours and hours and hours a day thinking and hearing and trying to speak that language.
And everybody around them is helping them.
And everyone's constantly helping them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So adults can learn by immersion, but it takes that much. It takes, you know, 10 or 12 hours a day of constantly being immersed in the language. And and focusing on that and trying to understand it. And it, then you have to do that for a certain amount of time to learn by immersion, which is just not feasible for most adults, but it is feasible for children, right? So anyway, all of that is to say, I just find that very interesting, that it's not actually that adults can't learn by immersion or can't learn in the way that children learn. It's that children have more time, right? And so back to the idea of memory work, I think we say children are able to memorize things better than adults. I don't know if that's true based on that. I think that children, we can make children, because we're adults and they're children, we can make them memorize things, right? And we don't want to tell adults, like, you have to spend the time to do this, right? But in theory, adults could actually just spend the time to memorize things, right?
See, when I was in school for 1 week, we repeated a Bible verse. That was when you could have a Bible, so you got up every day. So So everybody had 52 Bible verses they learned a week in one grade.
Yeah.
And based on what the teacher put up there, you know, every week, because every single day you said this, and
So that's good. I think that's good. I think that what I'm saying is
like
that. So I think adults can do that.
Went to Lutheran schools.
Yeah.
And here again, that was part of theirs.
Yeah, and I think that's great. And the reason that that works is because you're putting in the time. It's all about putting in the time and effort. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do a lot if you put in the time and effort, right? Like, it doesn't.
That's kind of true with everything.
Yeah, it's true with everything, right? Like, it's about priorities, really, is what it's about. And so I think people in the past, in the ancient past, prior to our modern world, had more of a, for various reasons probably, for a lot of various reasons, probably had more of a priority to memorize things. Mm-hmm. And we've lost that priority. But we should memorize things, and there's a number of reasons why we should memorize things.
Well, most information was passed on orally.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, books were more expensive. I mean, this is like, especially pre-printing press, there's dozens of reasons why you should memorize things. So it's just higher up on the priority list.
You know, one of the reasons, we were talking about this several lessons back, we were talking about the liturgy and all. And the next Sunday, as old as I am, it dawned on me, I can do the whole liturgy without looking at anything.
I'm afraid I'm gonna mess up.
It never occurred to me until then. I've been doing that for years. I'm young.
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
But you're always wanting to mess up. Where I sit in church, and I'm sure you see it too. You can look out and look and see. There are a lot of people that don't look at anything.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I think you should do that.
And it's not just rote either.
Right.
Once I started thinking about it, I thought, now am I just saying words that I've been saying every Sunday for my whole life? No, I know what it means. I understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's really good. It brings up another topic, but we did talk about this when we talked about the liturgy, but it's very similar to what we're talking about with memory work right now. It's about effort. Like, and I don't want to make it into like everyone just needs to try harder, but in a sense, people need to try harder, right? Because, and I'm not thinking about anyone individually or the church at large even. I'm just saying that very in general, like with the liturgy or with memory work, if you put in the effort, you can do it. Right. And like you said, a lot of people have it memorized, but they just, in fact, it becomes rote when they read it. But if they give up the reading part and just allow themselves to do it, it actually becomes less rote. And if they focus on like, okay, I want to focus today on what I'm saying and listen to what I'm saying and think about what it is, the words I'm using, that becomes a very precious and valuable thing. Yeah, I almost wanted to kind of give some of the pastors a hard time yesterday at our circuit meeting, because we had the we had a divine service with the, you know, just the pastors there. We were at Faith Collierville, and I won't say which pastors and we're doing what, but it was divine service setting one, which, you know, maybe not everyone uses, and if you don't use it, you lose it, right? I'm very lucky in that I went to a Lutheran college and a Lutheran seminary where I went to chapel every day. And, you know, I've been going to church every Sunday for a very long time. You know, minus the few times I've been like puking my brains out or something, but, I've basically not missed a Sunday in church in a very long time, but, I've memorized a lot of the liturgy and a lot of the hymn, maybe not memorized the hymns per se, but just by
you know a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a decent number of them, but like there's
you know a lot of them. We don't know
yeah,
at all.
Yeah. There's so anyway. Long story short, I know divine service setting one very well, and I didn't pick up the hymnal the whole time we were doing the service. But some guys were like, had all the hymnal there, and they were reading it, and I was like, you guys are pastors, you don't know setting one, come on, like, but then they were like even reading things like the Lord's Prayer, and I was like, I was like, you know, you guys know the Lord's Prayer, and okay, I'm a sinner, right, because during the Lord's Prayer, I was looking around, I should have, right,
I was judging,
I should not be doing that,
oh my goodness.
But
that's a whole new one,
other problem,
one was if you didn't
but.
Started going to Holy Cross. Divine service one was when you didn't have communion. Three was always. So the first and the third,
yeah. Well, people do all sorts of things. But
yeah, really.
Anyway, long story short, I almost wanted to give him a hard time and be like, you know, you guys don't need the hymnal, right? Like,
yeah.
But it becomes a habit just to look at it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And that's how it goes. So I can tell. When someone comes for the first time, Lutheran, they don't pick up.
Yeah, they don't
even.
Right, yeah.
Who was this? A couple of Sundays ago, I said something about somebody. I said, well, obviously they're rooted. I said, because they did the liturgy all the way through.
Yeah.
They weren't flipping back and forth. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
I
say this too. You
yeah, go ahead.
About the languages. And this is real quick. I don't know why we don't teach, because to me, I went to a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught Latin first,
mm-hmm.
and then they taught Hebrew. And I remember her saying, well, she had 12 years of Spanish, and we went over to German and different things. And I was like, Simi, how did you catch on something? She said, well, if you know Latin.
If you know Latin, you know
a
lot.
I hear a lot of words.
Yeah.
So what on earth is, you know what I'm saying? Some of the kids, I don't know if it's just in the Catholic school, but I don't remember anybody in the public school teaching Latin.
Yeah.
Well, they have Latin in the high school.
It's an elective.
Yeah, we really should do it in elementary school. That's what we're doing with the homeschooling.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I took Latin for 2 years, then I took Spanish.
Yeah, my mom lied to me. She said Latin is easier than
our teacher said you need to take Latin before you take the next language. So we took Latin in 9th and 10th grade and Spanish in 11th to 12th of French.
Yeah.
But I think it's good when they teach it young, because after she learned it in elementary, then all the rest of the
And learning languages is hard. And you like I said, you have more time when you're a young kid.
Exactly.
Well, they're saying the reason why Babbel, the app, is so popular is because it's only teaching you what, because it's a travel app, basically. Mm. That's the only reason why you get Babbel, is that you're traveling to that country and you want to be able to get around and, you know, where's the restaurants, where's the hotels, all this. So that's what makes Babbel so good, because within, they're saying 5 days, you know what you need to do to go to that country. But you're talking $600-$700. I mean, it's like, you're not learning the whole thing. You're just learning nothing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Duolingo. It's
free.
Duolingo's an app, and it's free. You can
I learned language. All the languages I've learned reading books. So
yeah.
I'm very old school, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, back on track. We need to get back on track.
Okay.
So my point about memory work is very simply, we should put in the effort to memorize. And very similar to what you were saying, Marcia, it's actually not that hard if we just set aside a little bit of time every day. Mm-hmm. And I think a good model for this is to do things on a weekly basis. So.
Yeah.
If you kind of put in 30 seconds to a minute, I'm talking like very little time, of trying to memorize one Bible verse every week, and you do that 30 seconds to a minute every day.
You put it in the bulletin. Right.
Yeah, you will have that. You will more than likely have that Bible. I shouldn't say you will, but you will more than likely, 95% of the time, have that Bible verse memorized by the end of the week. If you do 7 days in a row of, and you just start, just reading the verse out loud, and say you read it out loud 3 times to yourself, on the first day, and then the second day you read it out loud 2 times to yourself, and then you close your eyes and try and say as much of it as you can.
Yeah.
And you might be able to say the whole thing right there. And then the third day, you read it out loud to yourself once, and then you try and say it with your eyes closed 2 times. And then on the fourth day, you start to just try and say as much as you can without looking at it at all. And then if you need a little help, you look at it, and then you say it again, and you say it again. And then by the seventh day, you'll have it memorized, mm-hmm. right?
I have to write it down.
Or yeah, you can. That's a good way to memorize things, is to help write things multiple times. Yeah. So anyway, but you need, you should, yeah, go ahead.
You memorize, so it'll come back to you need it.
Yeah, when you need it.
Memorize Bible verses.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I was trying to get at too. Is like, why should we actually memorize Bible verses? And I think even if better would be to memorize some Bible passages as well. Like maybe work on like. And I don't do this in the at-home prayer, but if you did like kind of in a month, you said, I'm going to memorize this paragraph, right? So you do like a verse a week, and then you say it's 4 verses long, and then you can kind of get a 4-verse chunk, which is even better because you're getting a little bit of the kind of overall argument of the passage instead of just a one singular verse.
Yeah.
But the reason you should do that is for a number of reasons. One is that when things come up in your life that Bible verse applies to, the Spirit will bring that to your mind.
And that's true. That's right. So.
Yeah, it is totally true.
True.
I mean,
not,
I read.
Not just one time true.
Right.
Yeah,
I rely on this as a pastor constantly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't always have, like, I show up to a situation, I don't have, like, I have a pastoral care companion, the little black book that I carry around with me,
mm-hmm.
which is nice, and it does give me, like, some things that might be helpful in certain situations. It gives me some verses, some psalms, stuff like that. But I don't, if I only relied on that, I'd be in trouble. Like, there are plenty of situations that come up that I've been at where people will ask me a question and I have to know the Bible verse. Like, you know, if someone asks me something about, you know, what happens when I die, is this person in heaven or hell? Like, and this is the situation, trying to think of things I've been asked recently, or like, it just situations I encounter. Like, I show up and to, someone's house after someone committed suicide, or I show up and someone has relapsed in their alcoholism or something like that. Like, I need some Bible verses in my head,
yeah.
right? I can't just be like, oh, hold on, let me look up a Bible verse that applies to your situation real quick. Like, that would not be good pastoral care, right? I need to be able to say, St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, God is working all things together for good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever. But I need to be able to say, thus saith the Lord, this is what God's word says to your situation right now. And so I rely on that as a pastor. So, but for you and your friends, like, and your Christian neighbors, you're not pastors, but that's not a bad skill to have, right?
Yeah.
To comfort each other and to comfort yourself in time of need. This maybe seems far-fetched. But another thing that we often think about and talk about when it comes to memory work is, especially in times of persecution, like, what if someone takes your Bible away? What if you're in prison and you don't have a Bible,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And I've always heard it said, not only in those kinds of situations is the Bible you have memorized your Bible, but it's also the people around you's Bible as well, right? So it's good to have these things memorized. And that's a very good argument for memorizing the catechism as well, because the catechism is just a summary of Christian doctrine, right? So if you can have a summary of Christian doctrine kind of in your back pocket, that's a good thing. All right, so memory work would be one thing to add to your devotions. That was a rabbit trail I was not expecting to go down, but... Yeah, that's a phrase for if you get distracted and talk about another subject.
I got two comments.
Okay.
Okay, the first one is about the language. I'm learning some Latin, and it's about this mouse called Minimas. And, okay, what was that thing?
You want to come back to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also about this family who lives in Britain.
Oh, no. In Latin. And you're learning that in Latin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
And then, and the next comment is, sometimes I recognize things from when I was a lot younger, and mom says, no, that didn't happen. And I say, no, it really happened.
Okay. That's definitely a rabbit trail. Okay. So what I want to talk about next is here's all the things that might go into your devotions, right? Okay. There's a pretty big list, right? So I'm also going to add other written prayers here. I didn't add that earlier. Ex corde and written prayers. So Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer, Hymns, Invocation, Blessing, Psalms, Ex corde prayers, written prayers, readings. This is Bible readings. And devotionals and memory work.
Okay.
You're not going to include every one of these things in every one of the devotions you have, right? When you're praying for your lunch at Firehouse Subs, you're probably not going to sit there and have this an entire devotion, right, before you start eating your steak. Yeah, right, something like that. However, what I want to encourage is one thing we talked about last week is maybe trying to start out with your devotional schedule, if you will, as kind of at least a 3 times a day schedule.
Yes.
Right, so morning, noon, and evening. So... And that might look something like in the morning, you say a simple prayer or two. Maybe you say the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer, something like that. Something very simple, 5 minutes or less. In the noon or before dinner, or maybe lunch and dinner, you say mealtime prayers,
yeah.
Right? And then in the evening, you have a more fleshed out devotion,
yeah.
Right? A more thorough devotion. Or maybe it's a little bit of the opposite. Maybe you have a more longer devotion, maybe, you know, 10, 15 minutes, even 30 minutes or something in the morning, depending on your life circumstances, if you, you know, have to go to work in the morning or not, or whatever the case may be. And then you have, you know, your mealtime prayers, and then you have a short evening prayer before you go to bed, right? Something like that. But I think 3 times a day is a good kind of jumping off place. Right, a good starting point. And we'll talk about this more in a second, but if you're that's a good thing to aim for if you're not already doing it. If you're already doing it, then we'll talk about how you can add to it. But if you don't have any kind of devotional life, you're not doing anything, then you don't even have to start with 3 times a day. One time a day is better than nothing, right? So I want to say that as well as kind of a caveat. 3 times a day is great. That's ideal, but one is better than none, right? So two is better than one. So just kind of go with where you're at. And that brings up what I really wanted to talk about today, which is the idea of, this is a Japanese word, speaking of languages, the idea of Kaizen.
Yes, I am.
Have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. So Annie can fill in what I get wrong here.
It was terrible.
It was a business concept.
Yeah, it's a business concept.
Uh-huh. And so when I worked at the casino, we had to use Kaizen.
Oh, okay.
And I did not, I couldn't get myself really wrapped around.
Okay.
It was mandatory.
Well, I'm going to explain it. I like the idea of it for devotions. Okay. So this is, this sounds a little weird, but I do like the idea of Kaizen for devotion. So it basically, Kaizen, yeah, it's originally this idea of a kind of business method. And it came out of post-World War II Japan. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about that history, Japan really turned things around after World War II, especially further into the 20th century, especially in like the 80s and stuff, where they were developing a lot of technology. And I don't know if you kind of have seen this before, but like sometimes you get things from Japan that are just really well made. Mm-hmm. Right? So like the joke about Chinese made things is
right.
Like the joke about Chinese made things, right? They just fall apart.
Right.
But Japanese things are different, right? Like if you get something made in Japan, it's like
it's
gonna last forever, potentially, right? What maybe not so much anymore, but like especially if you got something back in the 80s and 90s. And you think about a lot of like technology companies, especially were kind of Japanese companies coming out back then. But that came out of this whole school of kind of Kaizen philosophy. And it's not like a weird Eastern philosophy or anything. But it's basically this business method. And the root idea of it is, and I think this is almost a rough translation of the word, is like continual progress. And the idea is that when you're trying to grow something or make something better, you want to be continually adjusting it to allow it to become the best that it can be. But those adjustments, and this is the big other big part of it, this is the most important thing. Those adjustments, as you're trying to get something to grow and become better, are not supposed to be big, huge changes, right? They're not supposed to be complex like restructurings of what you're doing. They should be very small and incremental.
Incremental is what I was thinking of.
Changes. Where basically it's okay.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do incremental. They wanted to do
that. Right. And this is a trap people fall into all the time, is when they're trying to kind of grow something or make something better or find the best way to do something, they'll start with something and it kind of won't be working. And so they'll say, let's try something completely different, right? And when you do that, you run into all sorts of problems. One is that you didn't allow the time for the thing to work itself out that you were originally trying. And then you have to try and learn something brand new again, right? But the idea of Kaizen is we're going to continually progress with small incremental changes. And if anything's ever not working, right? So if it's not working, then change something, right? Don't be afraid of change. Okay. Now, what does this have to do with devotions and prayers? this sounds crazy, right? But I think this is actually a really great way to try and develop your prayer life. Like, I think we should, throughout our entire Christian life, grow and try and develop our life of prayer and devotion. And to do that, I think the Kaizen method, or the Kaizen philosophy, if you will, is actually very helpful, right? And so I always tell people this, like, whatever you're doing, if you want to kind of up your devotion game a bit, whatever you're doing, just add a little bit, right? So if right now all you do for your devotions is pray at dinner, right? So like bare minimum, you don't do devotions in the morning, you don't do devotions in the evening. You just say a prayer at dinner time. Like that's all you do. That's great. Add the Lord's Prayer in the morning, right? Don't go say, pastor says three times a day is ideal, and there's this whole list of things that a pastor thinks I should do in my devotions. And I need to, you know, start doing devotions. And then you sit down, you go to sleep at night, you wake up tomorrow morning, you're like, okay, it's time to do devotions. And you sit down and you try and do all these things. And it takes you 30 minutes and you're worn out and you're not used to it. And you get behind on your schedule in life because you spent 30 minutes that you don't normally spend doing devotions. And then you're late to work. And it's a whole mess. Don't worry about that, right? Just wake up and say the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. And do that for a week, right? Do it for a month, right? And then, after that becomes totally a normal daily part of your life, where it's not messing up your schedule, it's not taking up any more time, you're totally used to it, it's just part of your life now that you say the Lord's Prayer when you wake up in the morning, then add the Ten Commandments, right? Okay, now you're spending another, 30, 45 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay, add the Ten Commandments. Do that for a week. Do that for 2 weeks. Let that become normal. Add a written devotion in the evening. Yeah. Add a Bible reading in the evening, right? Set aside 5 minutes in the evening to do a Bible reading, right? And then do that for 3 weeks until it just becomes totally normal, right? And let your life adjust to adding these things into your daily prayer, right? And then as that grows and as that goes on, you'll see what works and what doesn't. You can take away things and you can add things. But this idea of slow, continual, small, incremental process, letting yourself get used to things as you're doing them, I think that's actually a very good way to try and grow and develop your devotional life. Okay. Now, all of that said, that's Kaizen. I went ahead and grabbed a bunch of these from last week. These are the at-home prayers from last week. I know you're all really familiar with them, so I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, but maybe for the sake of those listening on the podcast, and I guess there's not a video this week, but maybe I'll try and make these available somewhere. I just wanted to remind everybody and make these available that all of these things listed here are available in at-home prayer every week. Mm-hmm. Right? So this is the reason I put together at-home prayer, the reason I came up with this, and this was not my idea, by the way. There's a lot of LCMS pastors who do similar things. Now, this is my own creation as far as like this at-home prayer. I don't just download this somewhere. I did kind of come up with this layout. But the reason that I have this and that I started putting these in the bulletins when I first came here is because I wanted everyone to have something that they could just pick up and do and have a devotional life at home, right? It's called at-home prayer because it is to pray at home. Mm-hmm. And the reason we start Sunday school with this every week is to give a model and kind of kick off the week starting with a version of at-home prayer. The thing about at-home prayer is that it is kind of with this Kaizen method in mind and with all these things that I listed out in mind, it's very customizable, mm-hmm. right? It's got an invocation. It's got the Apostles' Creed. It doesn't list out the Ten Commandments, but it says there you can include the Ten Commandments, a hymn or a psalm. It's got daily readings. It's got catechism memory work, Bible memory work, the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. suggested topics for prayers in ourselves for others. For each day of the week, which would be more ex corde prayers, right? So out of the heart prayers. Luther's morning prayer and evening prayer, which are written prayers, right? So far we have Bible readings, prayers, psalms, hymns, Lord's Prayer, Creed, Ten Commandments. The only thing that doesn't have is a written devotional. It's got memory work. I can recommend things that have written devotionals if you want. But you can use this easily 3 times a day. You can split the entire thing up between 3 times in a day. You can repeat it 3 times a day. You can do some parts. You can do, say you do the invocation, Ten Commandment Creeds, and Lord's Prayer 2 times a day, and then you do the rest of it another time during the day. It's very customizable, right? And so I'm partly preaching to the choir here, but I want everybody to remember that this is available, right?
Yeah.
I give you something every week that is very easily added to your devotions. And hopefully it's helpful. So that's my plug for at-home prayer. Now, As far as other devotional resources go,
can we use like portals of prayer?
Yeah. I should say that. Okay, so that's kind of what I was about to talk about is when I say I'm plugging at home prayer, this is because I want everybody to be able to have something, uh-huh. right? And I try and make it as kind of customizable and as including of everything as possible. Now, that said, there are lots of devotional resources out there. And I am all about people using various devotional resources. And I think it's good to kind of switch it up sometimes too, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're using one book and then you use a different kind of book or whatever. There's lots of good books and things out there that you can use. Portals of Prayer is certainly one of them, right? And I should read Portals of Prayer simply because that way I would know what everyone else is reading, because a lot of people use Portals of Prayer and I don't. But I know Portals of Prayer is very popular. I know.
I like it because I get that big print one.
Yeah, there you go.
And I can see it.
Portals of Prayer is good. There's a couple other things I would recommend as far as potential resources, right? And again, don't take any of this as, oh, pastor wants me to do all these things, right? I don't want you to do anything you're not ready for or anything that you don't like. I want you to enjoy your devotions. I just want you to be in prayer, right? I want you to be in prayer, and I want you to be in the Word, and I want you to have God's Word on your heart and on your lips, and I want you to talk to God. Like, that's what I want. And I want that to be as easy as possible. So there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of resources that you can consider. I'll start with Bible reading plans. So yeah. I got like three go-to recommendations, but there's also other ones out there as well. My three go-to recommendations, I do three because there's an easy plan, a medium plan, and a hard plan. And this kind of allows people to choose what they think they might be able to actually do, right? So some people, they need to start with the easy plan, right? So the easy plan is what's in at-home prayer. I always abbreviate it AHP, at-home prayer. That is like a pretty, it's not going to take you more than 10 minutes to read, like the verses. It's normally limited to around, like, I want to say it's limited to around 30 verses total around that time. But it's really not, especially if you're just reading to yourself, even if you're a fairly slow reader, it's not going to take that long to read. It's an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading, yeah. And they're not whole chapters or anything like that. Okay. So that's at-home prayer. And with at-home prayer, what you're getting is about a third of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament, 100% of the New Testament, every year on a yearly cycle. Right, so this reading plan that I put in at-home prayer repeats once a year, and you get about a third of the Old Testament, kind of the highlights of the Old Testament, and then you get all of the New Testament. The medium reading plan I recommend is called the One-Year Bible, and you can just look this up. They have a website, and then you can also buy hard copy Bibles that are formatted as one-year Bibles. But it is exactly...
You gave that to me.
I did, okay.
And I finished the one-year Bible with the New Testament. Then you gave me the Old Testament, so I've started...
Oh, okay, good. So that's exactly what it sounds like. You read the entire Bible in a year.
In a year, yeah. And I was so proud. I said, New Testament. And yeah. I was in the Virgin Islands, and I was like... Yeah. And I told Pastor, what do I read next?
Yeah.
And he said, okay, I'll get you the Old Testament when I got back.
There you go. There's the one-year Bible, and that's exactly what it sounds like. You read the whole Bible in 1 year.
Yeah.
And then the hard plan is this that you can also look up. It's called Professor Horner's Bible reading system. And by the way, 1 year Bible, that comes out to about 4 chapters a day.
Yeah.
Okay. Bible reading, Professor Horner's Bible reading system, you read the whole Bible multiple times a year, and it's about 10 chapters a day. So, it is 10 chapters a day, actually. That's how it's designed. And so you read the whole Bible about 2.5 times a year, right? So 2.5 times all the way through in a year. Now, Professor Horner's Bible reading system, the way it works is that there's 10 lists of books. So you have like Genesis through Deuteronomy is a list. The Psalms and the Proverbs is a list. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, something else, is a list. Some of the epistles are a list. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a list. Anyway, you got 10 lists of Bible books that cover the whole Bible. And you read one chapter from each of those lists a day, right? So you're bouncing around. You read like one chapter from Genesis, one chapter from Isaiah, one chapter from Matthew, one chapter from the Psalms, one chapter from the Proverbs, one chapter from one of the epistles, one chapter from Revelation.
Are they related?
No. Okay. So it's cool, though, because they can be. Like, and because the lists are all different lengths, of like total number of chapters. So as you go through this Bible reading system, it doesn't take more than 20 or 30 minutes. Like, it's 10 chapters, but you know, Bible chapters are not the same as like a book chapter, right? Like, they're smaller, right? So it doesn't take that long. And because you're bouncing around, you read one chapter, then you bounce somewhere else, and you read another chapter, you bounce somewhere else. It makes it actually feel quicker, right? Because it's not like if you read 10 chapters of Isaiah, that seems like it takes a long time. But because it takes like a little bit more focus. But then when you're like, okay, I'm reading one thing. Oh, now I got to focus on the next thing. Oh, now I got to focus on the next thing. It actually seems to go a little bit quicker. And then, but the cool thing is you start to see, you can see connections throughout the whole Bible, right? When you're comparing, you intuitively compare the 10 different chapters that you're reading, and you can see like certain connections that show up. And because the lists are varied length, it takes like 20 years of going through it or something to get the same set of readings again. Oh. Right. So every year, if you keep going through it year by year and you just kind of never stop, the readings are different year by year on each day. So it's a kind of cool way to do it. Some guy named, you guessed it, Professor Horner, came up with it.
Is that H-O-R?
Yeah, H-O-R-N-E-R-S. It's taken off in popularity. I think he was some Bible college professor, and he told his students to do this, and it just kind of became a popular method, but... I like that. I've done it before. I'm not doing it currently. I should do it again. But that's what I like. That's the one I like the most. But it's, again, I mean, it is a time commitment. It takes, I mean, I'd set aside probably 20, 30 minutes to do your Bible reading if you want to do that. But you're going to read the Bible 2.5 times in 1 year, which is pretty cool. Yeah, Marcia.
WMail has a website, and on it, they have today's mustard seed devotion, and it's a 2-minute.
Yeah.
You just go through and you play it like today is joyful Bible to me, and it gives you the Bible verse, and then a lady does a devotion.
Interesting.
It's very interesting.
So let me really quickly, man, I did not get to some of the stuff I prepared, but this will finish our discussion of prayer. I had those other topics I prepared that I wanted to talk about, but that's fine. Just as far as further resources go for prayer, I'd say the hymnal, the LSB Lutheran Service Book. If you don't own one, it's worth getting because one, you get the hymns, right? You can, and even reading hymns can be very devotional. Like, I like this has happened to me plenty of times before, where we'll sing a hymn in church and there'll be a certain line or a turn of phrase where I'm like, ooh, I need to save that. Like, that'll preach. Like, that's a good, like, that's such a good, like, beautiful way to put that Christian concept. So one, you get the hymns, but two, if you say you kind of get tired of doing at-home prayer or something like that, and you want to have like a bit of a more organized devotion service, there's tons and tons and tons in the hymnal prayer services that you can use for your devotions, to outline your devotions. So like Matins in the morning is a great one. Vespers in the evening is a great one. There's this responsive prayer one, responsive prayer two, our kind of individual prayer services. There's this section on pages 294 and following called Daily Prayer for Individuals and Families. And it's got a morning service, a noon service, an early evening service, and a close of day service. So you could use those, and it gives you, it just outlines your devotions for you, right? So a hymnal is a great devotional resource. There's something called the Treasury, you can get this from CPH or from Amazon, the Treasury of Daily Prayer. And what the Treasure of Daily Prayer is works very well if you use at-home prayer, because it has the at-home prayer reading plan printed out. The readings are all printed out. What I put in the at-home prayer is the same daily lectionary for the Treasury of Daily Prayer. And they print all the readings out each day of the week. And then it also has a psalm and a written prayer and a written devotional, a writing. And I think it's got like a recommended hymn for that day. And then, of course, it's also got within it, in the back, it's got a number of written prayers. I know it has, I think it has the service of Matins in it. It's got a lot of stuff. The idea of this Treasury of Daily Prayer is something called a breviary, which is basically an old word for devotion book, like an all-encompassing devotion book. And that's what the Treasury of Daily Prayer is. So that's a good one. And then the... Actually, I'm not even going to bother mentioning that. So... if you want to get like really intense, I will mention this one. I just put it in the March Messenger, I believe, as kind of the extra thing. What I've been using recently is another Lutheran breviary, not the Treasury of Daily Prayer. This one is a little harder to find, but I can find it for you. It's called Oremus, and it was designed by a Lutheran pastor up in Minnesota, I believe. But anyway, that's also a very good breviary. It's a little more old school and a little more complicated than Treasury of Daily Prayer, but it's also very good. So, and if you want to find Oremus, if you look it up, look up David Kine. That's the pastor that that wrote it. But I would recommend Treasury of Daily Prayer for most people first, and then eventually you can kind of graduate to Oremus. It's, like I said, it's a little more complicated to use, but yeah, those are some of the resources I'd recommend. There are other ones too. I got lots of devotion books. The ones Annie was talking about, those are good devotion books as well. But yeah, that's we'll end there. Any questions on devotional life and prayer? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say this because Jim would say this, that every day of the world, every day, Jim does this for initial prayer. And in a devotional book that I will have ordered for him for Christmas, it's about a day. Mm-hmm. And I, you know,
That's great.
All found under Christian devotion books on Amazon. You know, went through the Billy Graham's, just things that don't sound far, like they would be too far removed from what we
do. Sure.
Every day. And he does it first thing before I get up. If I get up and I walk and he's sitting there in his chair, I don't stop. I never interrupt you because this is a, it's like nothing else exists. And one of the best things I think he does when we go anywhere on any trip, which is a day or two, instead of carrying those books, and he
brings
my, well, you usually take and use my iPad Bible, but he will have me print whatever it is, and then he leaves it on the bed for the housekeeper in my hotel, always.
Yeah. Great.
And a nice tip.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, we never know. You should throw them away. Who knows? Who
right. Yeah.
And to me, I think it's incredible. So
yeah. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think it's.
And that's the last thing he does when he does that. And I would never, ever, 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 ever open one of those journal books that he has or has written in. But he does that at the end. So I think that all kind of plays in together.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's good to have. It's good to have examples too, to have examples of people who have kind of figured this out and are successful in it and are able to stick to a schedule and do it. And yeah, we should all strive for that. Like we should all strive to.
Probably doing it, at least for him, it's first thing before anything else gets in the way.
Yeah, well, that's what Luther says in his morning. Daily prayers for the morning, right? In the morning when you get up, right? Yes. Make the sign of the cross and say,
you think I would be better with that example?
There's only one thing left you said, right?
What is it? I'll fix it. What is
it? Sunday first. Well, we don't get this until we come to church on Sunday.
Yes, he does because he comes every Saturday.
Every Saturday. Pick up one of these.
See, my thinking was always I hand it out on Sunday, so then it's that's the they get it on the first day.
You need those prayers there for Sunday morning, you know.
Yeah, I guess we could always just add a line and say like next Sunday, like at the bottom.
Well,
now you come up here every Saturday, so now I don't have to change it.
Don't wait late, you know, just be ready.
I mean, I don't want to change your schedule. So. Yeah, that's funny. All right, that's all I have. Any other questions, comments, concerns?
I was kind of thinking, and that maybe, when I just made up my mind that I'd do prayer every morning.
Yep, that would be good.
That's right.
All right, let's pray. Dear my Father, we thank you for this day and for this time together, and we pray that you would help us to increase our devotion toward you and help us to continually to learn your word. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.